Welcome to Zaslow Show 2.0, presented from day one by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You're dealing with any kind of accident, any personal injury, slip and fall, motorcycle, car accident, bike. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Title sponsors from day number one. No, before day number one of Zaslow Show 2.0, my guys Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, Ellie Anajar, they believe in me. If you're listening to the show right now and you're dealing with any kind of personal injury, I'm sending you to my friends, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You don't have to deal with the insurance companies. You don't have to deal with the medical bills. You need to focus on getting right. That's where they come in. They handle all the stuff that you don't want to be bothered with. You need to make sure you're getting healthy, and they're going to make sure you're getting the money that you deserve. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Proud title sponsors of Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome aboard. This is Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome, Zaslow Show 2.0. It is a Thursday, the 2nd of May. Good to have you aboard, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and presented as always by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. If you're involved in any kind of an accident, hit and run, motorcycle, boating, you call Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. They treat you like family. They get you the compensation you deserve. 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. And of course, there's so much action going on right now. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, NHL playoffs, all the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. So, you guys are tuning in today. You're popping up wherever you listen to your podcast, Zaslow Show 2.0, and we're all feeling the same way. That's right. We're excited that the Marlins have won back-to-back. No, we don't give a shit about that. We're all down because the Miami Heat season ended last night. Although, like, I got a message today from one of my friends. It's like, hey, you down about the Heat last night? I'm like, I mean, we all saw it coming a million miles away. Now, I went into the game yesterday. I told you. I wasn't trying to do a reverse jinx. Did I feel the Heat had a chance last night? Yeah, I felt they had a chance in every single game this series. But as far as the way they end up going out, 4-1, and I told you, they were not going to get swept. They didn't get swept. But the way they went out 4-1, and it's not as if last night losing by 34 where, oh, they're facing elimination, they're on the road, no effort, they didn't show any character. No, they're so shorthanded. Butler, Rozier, Jaquez, not even making the trip. Robinson's not healthy, and he's been awesome for us this year. A 64-win Celtic team, number one wire-to-wire in the NBA. This is exactly what they were supposed to do. So, and by the way, there is no way that that was as satisfying. The Celtic fan, the Celtic organization, they were waiting the entire season to eliminate the Miami Heat from the postseason. There is no way that was as satisfying as they hoped it would be, with no Butler and then add on the other injuries as well. So I'm glad that we didn't give them that. I'm glad that they don't have that satisfaction of beating the Heat with their full squad and being able to take that with them, saying, hey, you guys have gotten us the last 2 out of 3 times we've met, and we punked you this year. The Celtics losing one game to that shorthanded Heat team. Yes, the Heat always have enough, but losing one game to that Heat team that you saw out there these 5 games, that's an embarrassment for the Celtics. And by the way, don't let anything that's happened right now, don't let anything that's happened this last week and a half distract you from the fact that the Miami Heat have won three times as many championships as the Boston Celtics since their existence in 1988. Nothing changes that. That's a fact. So I am glad that the Heat did not even grant the Celtics that satisfaction where they were able to send Jimmy Butler, the Jimmy Butler Miami Heat, home and end their season. Nope, you didn't even get that. You essentially beat a JV squad for the Miami Heat. So there you go. Now, a lot to talk about as far as not even so much last night. Although here's what we got today. My man, whoop. We are in a good mood today, all right? Because we're sitting back and we're chilling. Matter of fact, we're going to watch tonight, Game 6. We got a great sports night tonight. Game 6, Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs. We're sitting back as Panther fans. We are chilling. We're going to watch those teams beat the shit out of each other. We hope it goes to a Game 7. We're also watching Knicks at Sixers, Game 6. The most juice of any first-round series in this year's NBA playoffs. Tonight, they play Game 6. You got Sixer greats pleading. Oh, pretty please. Oh, hey, don't sell your tickets to Knicks fans. We have to take over our building. We have to fight for our team. How about telling Joel Embiid to have a decent game tonight in front of the home crowd? Wait, don't sell your tickets to Knicks fans. Tonight's a great sports night. We're sitting back and we're chilling and we're watching these games. So that's what's on tap tonight. We are in a good mood, though, because we're going to be joined by my man, Billy Lindsay. That's right. Bill Lindsay, Panther Radio. He's going to join us. We'll see who he wants to win this series, Toronto-Boston. We'll talk about the Panthers eliminating their rival, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Billy will join us. He's always great. I'll ask him, Billy, is it okay? You were the number one goal, the number one moment in Florida Panther history for 27 years. The goal, all right, right here above my shoulder, right there, if you're watching, right there. That's the goal against Raymond Bourque, Game 5, for the Panthers to clinch their first ever series victory in 1996 against the Boston Bruins. But I've dropped that to number 3. So we'll ask Billy if that's okay that I dropped his goal to number 3. But I always love talking to my guy, Billy Lindsay. You know, I've been really lucky. This is how I've been lucky. I've been really lucky because, now, I was on the Miami Heat broadcast for 13 years. You guys know that. But I think a lot of people either forget or don't know, because I forget sometimes. I was on the Panther broadcast for 2 years, 2009 and 2010. What I used to do for the Miami Heat, I did for 2 years for the Florida Panthers. I was their in-game studio host. I did the pregame, I did the intermission reports, and I did the postgame with Randy Moeller and Billy Lindsay, all right? Because back then, Moeller was the play-by-play, Billy did the color on the radio. And so, I got to know those guys really well. I'm really lucky because both of those radio gigs that I had with a couple of our local teams, you know, you could be brought into that situation. I'll open the curtain a little bit for you guys. You could be brought into that situation and you got to be all buttoned up. You're joining like a really professional broadcast. Not that the broadcasts weren't professional, but I'm a fan, but now I got to be buttoned up. And I never had to feel that way. And both were always super welcoming. Mike Inglis and John Crotty with the Heat and Randy Moeller and Billy Lindsay. I was always able to wear my emotion. As long as I still kept it professional, both sides, they were always so cool with me being me and loving both those teams while also being on their broadcast. So I've been very lucky about that. But Billy has become my friend over the years, of course, so we'll get Billy on. And just one of the things that I love about the Panthers, too, you know, I've told you this about Moeller. I'm so happy for Randy Moeller because nobody cares more about that team and works so hard. You know, he's also like their director of communications, I think it is. Or, you know, I don't know if director of broadcasting, that's what Moeller is also for the Panthers. And he cares so much about the organization, cares so much about the team. And you know, Billy does also. Go back and watch. I remember having Billy on right after this last year when the Panthers clinched the Eastern Conference Championship. And he was on NHL Network that night because he also does studio for NHL Network. And he happened to be on NHL Network that night. And the Panthers win the Eastern Conference Championship. Kachuk gets the goal. Second greatest goal in the history of the Panthers. And Kachuk gets the goal and they win. And you go back, you can look it up like on YouTube or whatever. And it's very moving because they, you know, they go to the studio and they happen to have Billy, who was a member of the last time that the Panthers were in the Stanley Cup Championship, in the Stanley Cup Finals. And he loves the organization. He's still part of the organization. And he's tearing up. He's very emotional in the broadcast. Like, he couldn't even get through it. They had to go to highlights to give him a moment to catch his breath. And it's very moving and inspiring, and he loves the Panthers. And it's such a great clip if you've never seen it. Like, go on, you know, YouTube and Google Billy Lindsay, NHL Network, you know, Panthers. Like, you'll find it. You're resourceful. You'll find it. So we'll have Billy on. We're also going to do mailbag today. Got a few good mailbag questions, so we'll do that. All right. There you go. So we're going to have fun today still. First, though, let me tell you guys, you got to support the sponsors that support the show. That's how we keep this thing moving. But I love that I have sponsors on the show, not only that I use, but that are going to help you as well. I've been getting my homeowner's insurance from Brunt Insurance for over 10 years now. And that's because I know that my home is covered when I do it through Brunt Insurance, and I'm also getting the best rate out there. If you're not happy with your current price, or even if you are happy with what you're paying for insurance, call Brunt Insurance at 954-589-2204 or go to bruntinsurance.com. Get a quote. See if they can get you a better rate. And wherever you're calling from in the state of Florida, they have offices all throughout the state. So from Pensacola all the way down to the Keys, the team at Brunt Insurance, they're going to know your area, all right? Now, when it comes to homeowners, renters, condo insurance, there's so many options. It's going to make your head spin. You try and do it on your own. They specialize at Brunt Insurance in making the confusing crystal clear. Fully licensed staff is going to help you every step of the way. Call them now, 954-589-2204, bruntinsurance.com, 954-589-2204. So, I do believe now the season's over, and, you know, what kind of changes are going to be made with... Actually, I only have one thing to say about the actual game last night, because what is there to say about the actual game? First play of the game, right? Bam Adebayo trucks Al Horford. And we've had... By the way, shout out Brian Scalabrine, SiriusXM NBA Radio, starting lineup every morning. That's my favorite show. Everybody knows I love Frank Isola, Brian Scalabrine. And of course, also Scal is a color analyst on NBC Sports Boston. And so, shout out to Scal, because after game number one, you know, which was a blowout, the juiciest part of this series ended up being the code red and Caleb Martin, the foul on Jason Tatum. Otherwise, we had nothing this series. I mean, the Heat shot the lights out of the ball in game number two. And then, I don't think the Heat in the rest of the games three, four, and five, the Heat made 23 threes in game two. I think they made 22 combined in the next three. 3 for 29 from three yesterday. So, anyway, the only juice in the series have been, like, the hard plays like that. And then you had Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum, after the whistle, shooting the ball. Now, Coach Mozzarella, Joe Mazzulla, he endorses that kind of play. So the Celtic fan, the Celtic team, they can't be upset about any of that. But then last night, very first play of the game, Bam Adebayo trucks Al Horford. Now, obviously not intentional what Bam Adebayo did to his really good friend, Jason Tatum, in game number four. Definitely not intentional either with Caleb Martin in game one on Jason Tatum. Last night, intentional. Last night, 100% intentional. And I'm good with it. Like, I'm fine with it, all right? Absolutely intentional, because after the Jason Tatum play, after the whistle in game four, Al Horford comes running in and shoves Bam Adebayo out the way. And then got a technical foul for it. And then after the game, Al Horford had a thing or two to say as well. The very first play of the game, the very first opportunity last night that Bam had to do something to Al Horford, he took it. He didn't like that he was shoved. He didn't like what Al Horford had to say after the game. And Bam got it. He got an opportunity right at the start of the game to truck Al Horford, and he did. And I'm good with it. Like, if Al Horford wants to talk tough, You want to push Bam Adebayo out the way? Guess what? Now, Bam's turn. And he trucked him. And I'm good with it. That was the only thing from the game last night, from the actual game, that is worth talking about. I mean, it was torture watching that game last night. I was drinking heavily by the end of the first quarter. I think the score was 55-25. Is that possible? With the Celtics up by 30 in the second quarter. I think it was 55-25. The Celtics were shooting close to 70%. I think it was like their 10th three of the game. I'm watching with both my kids in the Zaslow Mansion family room. Shot goes, remember, drinking heavily. Shot goes in. And I've been watching these games pretty calm because, I mean, what are we supposed to do? We're so shorthanded. And I'm relatively calm, but again, drinking heavily. And shot goes in, it's like 55-25. And I lost it. And I just shout, every fucking shot's going in! And that was it. I let it all out. In that one moment, it was like, all right, I'm cool. I got it out. Time to move on and start thinking about next season. So, I know everybody wants changes, and I want changes too. This was not a fun season, and we get to the postseason, and the postseason was even worse than the not fun regular season, so I get it. But here's the thing. I hate hearing all of the, Riley needs to get Bam and Jimmy more help, as if it's just out there for them to make these great and easy changes. The salary cap, there are so many rules, so many prohibitive rules, that you can't just go out there and make moves all willy-nilly because your team needs improvement. Like, the easiest way to improve your team is to draft well. And the last 2 years, the Heat have done that. Nikola Jovic, who looks like a player, Jaime Jaquez Jr., who looks like a player, and develop your own guys. Guys like Haywood Highsmith. Like, that's the easiest way to improve your team. But the whole, they got to go out there and make moves and put help around Jimmy and Bam. Like, I know that's you saying they need to take big swings, but it's so hard. You can't just turn the computer assistance off on NBA 2K and make whatever moves you want. It's really, really difficult. Now, what I will say is, it would be nice to find a way. I don't want them to trade Jimmy Butler, okay? I want this Heat team to win with Jimmy Butler. Bam Adebayo's going nowhere. That's for sure. Could they trade Jimmy Butler? They could, but I want them to win with Jimmy. I'm big on, look, I'd be a terrible general manager because I'm way too emotional. I get way too attached to guys. And like, I'd rather have, like, let's say you have a 50% chance of winning a championship with Jimmy Butler still on the team, but we're going to give you a 75% chance to trade Jimmy Butler and you're going to win without him. I would take the 50% chance. I want to, like, how you win is important to me. I would take the 50% chance with Jimmy Butler over the 75% chance without it. And I know that sounds crazy, and that's why I would be a terrible general manager. That's just the way that I'm built. The way that you win, to me, is important. I would love for them to find a way to allow Jimmy Butler to finish his career here the way that they did with Dwayne Wade. Meaning, so Jimmy doesn't have to be the lead guy anymore. When Dwayne Wade came back, now, they didn't do any winning. They made the playoffs. He came back, what was it, in the 2018 season. And they made the playoffs that year. And then, of course, you did the one last dance, right? And they missed the playoffs that year. But Wade had transitioned to a reserve role. And I'm not saying that Jimmy needs to transition to a reserve role. I don't, like, there's no reason for that. But I would like them to be able to get to a place with Jimmy where he could finish his career here and not as the leading guy anymore. I'm sure that's going to be the MO going into the offseason. But the whole Riley needs to get Jimmy and Bam more help, It's so difficult to do that. Now, I will tell you this, as far as Riley goes. He used to be a lot better. Well, like, I've told you guys this before. If you're going to make big changes, you need to be able to do it. You need to recognize that your team is not good enough before everyone else also recognizes your team is not good enough. Meaning, you need to make the big move before you hit rock bottom. Because if you hit rock bottom, you've waited too long to make the move. And I feel like Riley has not been good about that in the last, I mean, take it however many years you want. You know, in 2005, I'm taking it back 19 years. In 2005, Shaq's first year here, they got to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They were good enough to win the whole thing. They got to Game 7 of the Eastern Finals. But Riley said, yeah, I don't think we're good enough. And he went and made massive changes, making the huge trade. At that point, it was like the biggest trade in NBA history, player-wise, and acquired Antoine Walker and James Posey and Jason Williams. Made a huge move on a team that was a championship contender. It's very similar, actually, to what Boston did last year. Like, Boston, championship contender, but Brad Stevens said, we're not good enough, but I'm going to make this move before everyone else also sees we're not good enough. And you look at the Celtics now. That was the Heat that year. The Heat, they were good enough, but Riley said, yeah, I don't think we are. I'm still going to make the huge move. And he did, and they won the championship the next year in 2006. But really, since then, Pat Riley has been, he has allowed the team to get to the place where everyone also sees they're not good enough before making the big move. So after 2007, the year after they won the championship, same team, lost in the first round. The very next year, going into the 2008 season, he still brought them back, and it all bottomed out. They ended up trading Shaq in the middle of the season because Wade got hurt, injuries all over the place, and they won 15 games that year. And then you went through a couple years that were really difficult until they were able to acquire LeBron James and Chris Bosh. So Riley, acknowledging after 2005 that the team is not good enough, made huge changes, bold moves, didn't do that after 2007, and the bottom fell out. Same thing after the 2017 season, right? Where the team finished the year 31-10. Remember, they were a 500 team, 41-41. They missed the playoffs in the final day of the season. First year without Dwayne Wade in 2017. Remember, they started the year 10-31 and finished the year 31-10. Re-signed Deion Waiters, re-signed Tyler Johnson, re-signed James Johnson. Kept that team together when the reality of it was a fluke. And that should have been recognized. But instead brought that team back the next year, and they weren't very good. Same thing essentially happened after 2020. Brought back the same team from the bubble that just made the NBA Finals. That's easy to do. They just made the Finals. But are they good enough to make another run? To do it again, they lost in the first round in 2021. And now, it just happened again. Lost in the Finals, had an unbelievable run as an 8 seed, first ever 8 seed play-in team to get to the NBA Finals, and they ran it back. And the season was a disaster, and they lost in 5 games in the first round. And if you wait any longer to make the big change, if you wait till actual rock bottom, you've waited too long again. It's really difficult to make the big moves because, like I said, all the different salary cap machinations and punitive measures that are involved now. But I want to get back to 2005 where, man, we're awesome, but we're not good enough. So I'm still going to make a huge, bold move that's going to get us to where we need to go. And That's what I would like to see this offseason. So I've been telling you guys about one of our great sponsors for over a year now. You know I'm talking about Sheets and Giggles. That's right. Super loyal to Zaslow Show 2.0, one of our longest sponsors. And I love Sheets and Giggles because I wake up refreshed every morning when I sleep on their sustainable eucalyptus sheets. You got eucalyptus pillows, eucalyptus mattresses. Make sure you're following at Sheets Giggles on Twitter. My man Colin, founder and CEO of Sheets and Giggles, loves Miami sports. So anytime the Heat do something good or the Panthers do something good, if you're following them on Twitter, he's always releasing all kinds of promo codes and sales based on what just happened, like flash sales. You got to take advantage in the moment. If you're looking for new bed sheets, matter of fact, it doesn't even matter if you're not looking for new bed sheets, you're not going to find sheets that are softer, cooler, more breathable than what you're going to find at SheetsGiggles.com right now. And if this is your first time ever going to SheetsGiggles.com, use promo code Zaslow, 20% off your first order at checkout. That's right. SheetsGiggles.com, promo code Zaslow. You're going to get the best sleep of your life. You're going to become one of over 100,000 Americans, just like the Zaslow family, sleeping on Sheets and Giggles and never turning back. SheetsGiggles.com, promo code Zaslow, SheetsGiggles.com. All right, it's Thursday. Let's get to Zaslow Show 2.0 mailbag. All right, we got some good questions. We got some fun questions for you guys. Let's start things off here. My man Doug. Doug says, Zaslow, who gets this week's moron sandwich? Doug, you are an OG listener. When I was doing Nights on 790 Ticket, the Zaslow Show, Nights on 790 Ticket at 7 p.m., I used to hand out the moron sandwiches. So I appreciate you, Doug. You have been a longtime listener. Who gets this week's moron sandwich? Man. Yeah, man, who gets this week's moron sandwich? Hey, you're putting me on the spot here, I guess. You know, like, who has done something stupid? Who am I angry at? I mean, I guess in general, it would probably be any media who is, you know, going back to last week. And I'm not going to give Brian Scalabrine a moron sandwich because I like Scal. But really, in general, anyone who thinks that Coach Spoelstra is a dirty coach and is ordering Code Reds out there, really anyone in general there, you get a moron sandwich. All right. How about this next question? Cincinnati Lou. Oh, he's a big Lebatard Show guy. This was right after I made my appearance last week on the Lebatard Show. Do you know what the W in Zaslow Show should mean? Wednesdays on the Lebatard Show. I see what you did there. Yeah, that'd be fun. I would love to do more with the Lebatard Show. I'm hoping to wind up doing more with them. Joe is saying, Zaslow, in honor of Passover, what is your favorite Passover tradition? My favorite Passover tradition, I would say, I love charoset. What is charoset? It's one of the traditional Passover dishes, if you will. It's a topping. You put it on the matzah. It represents sweetness, all right? And it's made with nuts and apple bits and wine and cinnamon. Oh, it tastes so good. It's my favorite. I love charoset. All right. Next question is from Nick Val Max. Zaslow, is everyone on the table for Heat potential trades? No, Bam's not on the table. I think everyone outside Bam. Well, I'll take back Jimmy too. I don't, they would really have to be swept off their feet. Like something like, if the Suns said, we'll trade you Durant for Jimmy Butler, which would be stupid. Like that wouldn't happen. You know, unless something like that. So I think Bam and Jimmy are off the table. I think everything else is on the table. I also believe, I believe Tyler Hero played his last game with the Heat. The thing with Tyler, and I am going to be sad for him to go this postseason, and this was always going to be a tough series for him because he's going from being, you know, second or even third scoring option to number one option, getting the Celtics' best defender because Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier are not there. So this was always going to be a really difficult series for him. He averaged 16.8 points, 5.4 assists. He shot 39% overall and 35% from three. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. So you would have wanted him to and look, game two, he's capable. 24 points, 14 assists. Best game of his career in that game two win. They got it 1 out of 5 times them. It's not good enough. And I think the biggest issue with Tyler is he, and I've talked about this, he is so slender. He is so slight of build. And I don't think that's going to change, that he gets pushed around on both sides of the ball, actually. So I do think we've seen the last of Tyler Hero with the Heat. I think they will trade him. Terry is asking, Zaslow, what player or position should be addressed in the offseason for the Heat? Yeah, I don't think it's about a position. It's about acquiring good players. Like, you saw in Eric Spoelstra kind of started this back, you know, 2012-ish. It's positionless for the Heat. So it's not about a position. It's not about a specific player. I think everything's on the table for them. Let's see. Metaboli Sync. I'm not saying that right. Zaslow, not a question, but I miss. It's still real to me. All right, I can tell you, it's still real to me. It's still, that's my wrestling podcast. It is going to be back this Saturday. This Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. is Backlash. It's in France. That's why it's this Saturday afternoon. We will be doing a reaction show to Backlash right after. So It's Still Real to Me is returning this Saturday. All right. Real Mike Austin says, Zaslow, KD does not fit Heat culture. But have you heard anything down low, that he would end up in Miami? Well, first of all, anything that I'm hearing, I'm not going to keep on the down low. Like, I'm going to tell you guys, all right? I'm not hearing anything that you're not, but you're hearing the same things as me is what I mean, where just put two and two together. When Durant was traded to Phoenix last year, there were two teams on his list, right? Phoenix and Miami. So if he were to want out, I would feel, you know, this, like I would imagine he would feel the same way. But here's the thing. I don't think there's any way Phoenix is going to trade him unless he were to ask to be traded. And based on the press conferences yesterday with the owner, Matt Ishbia, who seems like a clown, and our pal James Jones, the general manager, it seems pretty clear that Durant is not going anywhere. Who is going somewhere is Frank Vogel. They're going to fire him, all right? So I don't see anything happening. I don't see them trading Kevin Durant. And finally, let's do one more here. And then we're going to get to Billy Lindsay. We're going to talk Panther hockey. It's going to make all of us feel better. Mike in West Palm, can you ever see the Panthers becoming your favorite team over the Miami Heat? Well, look, it's not a competition. But I can tell you right now, because of the circumstances going into this postseason where there's no Jimmy Butler and the Heat are the 8th seed and the Panthers are a Stanley Cup contender, I am, or at least have been, more invested in the Panthers. So, like, again, not a competition, but I think the easiest way for me to say this, the Heat are always going to be my number one, but the Dolphins used to be my number two. It's not even close anymore. It's the Miami Heat all the way up top for me. Right behind them are the Florida Panthers, and then way below that are the Miami Dolphins. And that's not a knock on my love for the Dolphins. That is talking about my love for the Panthers. It's more about my love for the Panthers, if that makes sense. So, but again, Mike, it's not competition. And that right there is another edition of Zaslow Show 2.0 Mailbag. All guests on Zaslow Show 2.0 brought to us by the official beer of the program. We're talking Johnny Cuba, European roots with that Caribbean soul, a refreshing German lager in a can. You can find out the closest Johnny Cuba near you. You go to johnnycuba.us. You could use the Johnny Cuba locator. You can pick up your local Sedanos, Presidente, Winn-Dixie. Pick up a six-pack. That's how you can enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs. Make sure you always drink responsibly, and don't forget Johnny Cuba's mantra, stay tranquilo. So the Panthers are not back in action until at least this weekend. We could find out tonight when the semifinal will start. Joining us now, Panther great, our pal, Panther Radio, of course, NHL Network, Billy Lindsay here with us. Billy, always good to catch up with you. It's great to see you after the team extinguishes their biggest rival, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Billy, I was calling. I didn't care how good the Lightning were going to be this year or if they were going to be lesser than they were the last few years. To me, We always had to go through the Lightning. It had to be this way. I was thrilled when we got that matchup, and they did exactly what they needed to do.
It was good. They came out third time in 4 years that we met the Lightning in the playoffs. The first two times it went the Lightning way. And you're right, you have to go through the Lightning at some point. Quite a run they've been able to put together with those couple of Stanley Cups, another Stanley Cup final. The big four in the Atlantic, if you include the Panthers, Bruins, Leafs, and Lightning, you had series wins against Boston last year and Toronto. The only one of those big three, and maybe the biggest of the three that you have yet to overcome, were the Lightning. Did it in really good fashion. Lost that one game, but otherwise than that, it was Panther hockey through and through under Paul Maurice and what he's established with this group. Get after it, forecheck hard, strong defensively, good goaltending from Bobrovsky, and players that can elevate their game at this time of year is so critical. Verhaeghe, Tkachuk, you just continue, Forsling, Ekblad, down that list. They've got players, it's so critical, that can go from that regular season form, and it gets heated and cranked up in the playoffs, and they have a bunch of players that are able to really turn up the heat in the kitchen when it matters most.
I think the guys knew. Look, it's only the first round, all right? But I think the guys knew how important going through the Lightning was, and I don't think it was ever more evident than when Barkov scored his second goal of the game to go up 3-1, and the way that he celebrated the goal. Barkov never celebrates because Barkov knows every good thing he does out there, he's supposed to do it. It's not supposed to be anything special. He never shows that kind of emotion. He never celebrates. And wow, was he fired up after he scored that goal.
He was. And you go back to game four, the game that they lost, he was in a scrum, getting his helmet knocked off. You just don't see that from Barkov. And that emotion, you're right. He's used to scoring. He's used to going about it a certain way. It's workmanlike when he approaches the game. It's okay. It's surgical at both ends of the rink. And when he scores, he expects to score goals. And it's usually just a stick up in the air, some hugs. And when you get that kind of emotion from your captain, you can tell how special it is. And it's written on that big scoreboard. Every time you walk into the arena, the playoffs, 2024, redemption. They got one thing on their mind this year. It's to get back to that Stanley Cup and not lose the Stanley Cup, but trying to advance and win. So that's sort of the focus. And to have that kind of emotion from your captain, Barkov, does say a lot. Just what a complete player to have on your team, leadership at this time of year. And it only, you get through the Lightning, and from the NHL playoffs, we're talking about the Stanley Cup maybe, but you got to take it one day at a time. Whoever it is, Toronto, Boston, next on tap. You thought Tampa Bay was heated? You wait and see until it gets into this next round, whether it's Boston or Toronto. Oh, my gosh. There's going to be – I don't like the word hatred, but dislike is going to be about as strong as it can get, and it's going to be a battle of attrition.
Do we care which team? Like, Toronto can force a game 7 tonight. Boston can end it. And then I assume if that's the case, that game 1 could be Saturday or Sunday. Do we care? I mean, I think we're rooting for Toronto tonight because we want that series to extend, right?
Yeah, let's go 7. Let's push it. Make those guys. They're going at it pretty good. And Maple Leaf Nation up there trying to stay alive. Going back to Boston's really had Toronto's number in Toronto, I believe. Toronto's lost 9 straight playoff games at home, if you can believe that. Wow. And a bunch of them to Boston. We'll see if that series does get extended. Austin Matthews was sick last game. Does he play for the Leafs? Do we care who we play? Just what's on tap. It doesn't matter. They're both, you go down their lineups, they both present different challenges, I would say, to the Panthers. Both unique and both would be very formidable opponents.
Do we like the time off that the team is getting right now? You know, I mean, I figure, yes, let's get healthy, especially Sam Bennett. You know, I think the time off is good, but the Panthers are coming off winning 4 out of 5 over Tampa. Is the layoff, you know, could there be a rust factor?
Love rest in the playoffs. Love it. Go back to 96 in my experience, Boston in 5 games, Philadelphia in 6, and Pittsburgh in 7. getting ready for that Stanley Cup after a 7-game series was extremely difficult. If you go 7 games, you get that night to enjoy the series win. You have to get ready for the next team immediately. You beat Tampa Bay, you enjoy it that night, and you get the whole next day to kind of just soak everything in. A couple of days of practice, re-energize your mind, get focused on that next series. Rust versus rest, I take rest every time. Those guys, once you get dialed in and that puck drop, if you have some rust, it takes about 5 or 10 minutes to wear off until you get blasted with a big body check and all of a sudden realize, okay, we're in another series here when someone just face plants you into the board. So take rest every time.
I had such a it's been such a cool experience for me the last couple of seasons with this team because, you know, I mean, I obviously loved the Panthers my entire life, but, you know, when they made the run in 1996, I was 15 years old and I loved it. I mean, I was way into it, but now...
Don't make me that old, Zaz. Don't make me feel that old, buddy.
But now, you know, last year, 27 years later, I'm a grown man and I get to experience it with my teenage boys. And that is a completely different type of fandom, getting to experience your favorite sports teams with your kids. And so I took my younger son, who is 12, and the Panthers are his thing. He loves the Panthers. And so we went to game 5 the other night. We both had never been to a closeout game. And so I'm explaining to him once we're up 6-1, I'm like, all right, we're going to win this game. When the game's over, we don't leave. We got to stay because they shake hands. And then the team is going to salute the crowd. And I'm explaining to him why they shake hands. And he appreciated that. It's such a great tradition in your game, Billy, where no matter what happens during this series, we got to shake hands at the end of it.
It's the true spirit of the sport. You can just go out there and get after it, 5 games, 7 games, whatever it is, and just pound each other into submission, take shots, punch people in the face. And then after it's all said and done, whether you win or lose, you hold your head up and you get into that handshake line. And if you're on the wrong side of it, you still shake hands. If you're on the right side, you give full respect to your opponent. And you saw that last game. And the real cool part of that handshake line that was special to me was when John Cooper, the coach of the Lightning, got into the handshake with Paul Maurice, and it was extended, the conversation between Paul Maurice and John Cooper. I don't know what it exactly said, but I can imagine somewhere along the lines of, with Paul Maurice not having won a Stanley Cup and John Cooper winning two, it had to be mentioned in there from John Cooper, you guys go and finish your business. You go out there and you try and do your best and you get a Stanley Cup, Paul, because you deserve one on your resume. And that's the extent between the coaches and all the players. It's a unique tradition that will always be special to the sport of hockey.
Hey, we'll get right back to the conversation, but first I got to let you guys know, you know, one of our great sponsors here is out there trying to help get you a new home. That's right. If you're thinking about getting a new home in any part of beautiful South Florida, I'm sending you to Signature Real Estate Finder. That's right. Matthew H. Mashler, your trusted real estate broker, Signature Real Estate Finder, realestatefinder.com. If you're thinking about getting a new home, that should be an enjoyable experience. You shouldn't have anxiety over it. And the reason that you're going to be able to find the best home at the best price in the best neighborhoods, finding you exactly what you want, is if you get someone with over a decade of experience. Matthew H. Mashler specializes in luxury homes. He is a certified luxury home marketing specialist, realestatefinder.com. You can contact Matthew H. Mashler at 561-208-3334. That's 561-208-3334. Maybe you're just trying to sell one of your properties right now. The best way to sell it at the best price, get it off the market right quick. Matthew H. Mashler, realestatefinder.com. Maybe you're already in the business. Are you ready to take your real estate career to the next level? You can join the Signature team. The Signature Real Estate Companies are South Florida's industry leaders, ranked number one in Boca, one of the tops in all of Florida, and with offices all throughout the state, including Delray Beach, Coral Springs, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Naples, Palm Beach, Orlando, a whole lot more. The Signature team is where you want to be. So whether you're looking to buy your next dream home, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334. If you're looking to sell your current property, realestatefinder.com, or you're just looking to join the best in the business, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334, realestatefinder.com. Matthew H. Mashler, your pathway to exceptional real estate experiences. You know what else I also appreciated with certain guys in the line? Anthony Duclair gave hugs in the handshake line. I don't know that I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, you're part of a team. He was part of the Panthers, knows all these guys. And once you form a bond with some teammates, I got traded a bunch and played for some different teams. You go back and you see those guys, and I would fight guys that I'd played against. And that type, it just happens and occurs. And some of them could be really close friends. No one realizes you fight all the time in training camp back in my day. Yeah, they're still on your team. So Anthony Duclair, he was a big part of what we did for the last couple of years, the President's Trophy, the Stanley Cup run. He was involved in all that. So to see the hugs, that's not oncoming, and that's classy on both sides, especially from Duclair's side of it. And Duclair, give him credit. He's been on a lot of different teams, and he played his ass off in that series and played hard. And at the end of the day, like you said, there's only one team that gets to move on.
So we went to game five the other night. We had such an amazing time, my son and I. And you can't help but notice, especially if you're someone who has been going to games their entire life like I have, the crowd at Amerant Bank Arena. They were on fire. The building's been on fire for a couple of years now. But holy crap, Billy. You guys back in your day and playing in Miami Arena, phenomenal crowd. It was a small little arena. The seats were right on top of the rink, and it was such a great atmosphere. We're getting a great atmosphere now with this team in the postseason.
The home crowds, it's been remarkable all year. Going back, we've had 17,000 to 19,000 almost throughout all our 41 home games. Winnipeg came in on a Tuesday night, and we had over 18,000 people. That does not happen in the past. I don't care what you're talking about. Ottawa, 19,000. They showed up all season long, and there's a base here. You have to win down here, Zad. You know that. We hurt the brand for a lot of years with the losing. Four straight years now into the playoffs, and it goes from the commitment from Mr. Viola, the ownership, all the way down throughout everything that's done through the office staff, the GM, the coach, the players, broadcasters. Everything. It's one big team, and that's eerily similar to what we began with. There's continuity, and it shows. And now you've earned the trust of the fan base. Okay, they're willing to go out there and do everything they can to put a winner on the ice. We support that, and it gets loud. They even pumped an extra bunch of $1 million into that sound system, into that rink, and it's made a huge difference. The sound system's clear, it's crisp, it's loud, and I compared it to Tampa Bay for game number three. I went in there and I was in shock. I was like, this place is so quiet. Really? It was a little louder in game four, but nothing compared to our rink. Maybe they get accustomed to winning. A little bit spoiled over there. But our rink is intimidating now. You walk in there with our fans, and as a player, from a player standpoint, you can feel that reverberate through you, that juice. It's just, it's hard to explain, but once it really does get going, all of a sudden, it just kind of just feeds and feeds. And the best part of it all was the na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye. I have not heard that chant in so long, and it was one of my favorite memories growing up. It used to be a staple growing up when I was a kid. He always heard it, and they brought it back at Amerant Bank Arena. I almost fell out of my chair. I said, "This is it. This is our fans got it." It was so loud, but it's so special. And full credit to our fan base; they've been awesome.
So you do believe home ice advantage there, it does make a little bit of a difference because, you know, it's been talked about, you know, all the time how, all right, in hockey, it's not as big a deal. Everybody's rink is the same size. You think it makes a little bit of a difference?
It does. And it does depend where you're playing. There's different kind of atmospheres. So you pay close attention to the game in Toronto tonight against Boston, but the Toronto fans, with what's happened over them, it'll be loud at the start, but if it gets close, all of a sudden, yeah, the fans will feel the nerves, just like the players. It'll get quiet in there. If it's 0-0 or 1-0 Boston in that type of scenario, or the Panther fans just be screaming their heads off. In Toronto, with what's happened over the years, all of a sudden, if Boston gets off to a good start, they can quiet that crowd really, really quickly. So it kind of depends on the rink that you're going into and sort of the situation that it is. I remember game 7 in Pittsburgh, the game that we won to go to the Stanley Cup final. It was close. All of a sudden, the old igloo in Pittsburgh, it got quiet. You could feel that the nerve. So there is, depending on how it goes, but it just seems our fans just want to cheer as loud as they can for as long as they can. And that was Miami Arena too. That does make a difference for you as a player. They're urging you on, and it doesn't matter. No nerves, no. Let's get after it, boys. Let's go. Let's come. So that does depends on the rink. Some rinks are different, and I believe ours is one of those where it's a home ice advantage.
It's awesome. It's so great that now we're several years in a row where we get to have these memories, these new memories. And I'll turn my head a little bit, and you can see right here, it's titled The Goal. And look, I'll move my head a little bit. That's you right there, Billy. That's your play. That's you and Raymond Bork right there, and you're scoring the goal. So I got it on my wall right here. It's titled The Goal. But here's the thing. I love that for 27 years, you had the greatest goal in the history of the Florida Panthers. But because of last year, I bumped you down, Billy, to number 3. You now at number 3. You're okay with that because Verhaeghe, game 7 at Boston, I got that number 1. Kachuk, game 4, seconds remaining against Carolina to win the East. And that's right here. That's Kachuk right there after scoring that goal. I got that as number 2. You're now number 3. Are you okay with that?
Perfect. That is awesome. It's perfectly okay with that. It's you bumped me down the list. It's been a long time coming. I'm rooting for this group that is so special. I could care less where I'm at on a list. That goal happened for me. It was a special moment. That will always be mine. There's course of history, but I never won a Stanley Cup as a player, and for this organization, It would bring me to tears if we got to that point and we were able to hoist the Stanley Cup. Those memories last year, Kachuk, Verhaeghe, you mentioned, they're huge goals. And further down the list I go, means the better this Panther team has achieved. And you're going to have to get, if we win a Stanley Cup, that Bobrovsky save in game number 2 is going to have to be put up there somewhere on that list, because it's going to go down as one of the best. It is the best save in Panther history, maybe a top 10 save all time in playoff history. That important. So that has no bearing on me at all. My moments will always be mine, and I'm full heartedly rooting. I can't let myself go there dream wise or whatever, but I've never touched the Stanley Cup. Never will. Unless I'm part of an organization now as a broadcaster, whatever role that I'm in, and they win it, I would put my hands on the Stanley Cup. And to do it with this team, the Florida Panthers, which holds such great meaning for myself, that would be the pinnacle for me at this moment. So I'm like you. I'm a diehard fan rooting. So further down that list, the better.
We'll get right back to the conversation, guys. But first, I want to tell you, if you're thinking about getting a new car, I'm sending you to the only car dealership I personally endorse. Yeah, I'm talking about North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. At North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, we're talking an extensive new and pre-owned Subaru inventory, plus used cars, trucks, SUVs of every make and model. You are sure to find your next vehicle at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. Plus, all new Subarus and most pre-owned vehicles come with a lifetime warranty, so you know that you're covered. Hey, maybe you just want to get your current vehicle serviced. Luckily for you, did you know that at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, they service all makes and models? That's right. So either way, you're going to be treated like royalty when you go to North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. And with prices less than many of those small shops, you can service with confidence at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. You're getting an exceptional experience every time you walk in the showroom doors at that brand new state-of-the-art facility on North Andrews Avenue. You know which one I'm talking about. It's that beautiful building. You can see it from I-95 at the Cypress Creek Road exit. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the only car dealership I endorse here on Zaslow Show 2.0, and that's because I want to make sure you guys get the best deal around. Go to nflsubaru.com. That's nflsubaru.com. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the location you know with an experience you'll love. Did you happen to see, Billy, I'll let you go with this. Did you happen to see, it was a few days ago on the ESPN NHL studio. I forget who it was, but the Stanley Cup was in the studio, and they were trying to get PK Subban to touch it, and he wouldn't, and they had to chase him around the studio. He was running away because he doesn't want to touch it, and they were chasing him with the Stanley Cup. They were chasing him around the studio because, like yourself, he does not want to touch it if he didn't win it.
Yeah, I would agree. I've never... Just as a player, what you want something to be part of, to put your hands on the cup. If you haven't earned it, it's hard to describe. But as a player, whether PK gets a chance with an organization or a different something, it's something that maybe later in life when you're in 75, 80 and it's kind of winding down and you decide, okay, I'm just going to finally put my hands on this thing and see what it's like. That's fine, but as you're going through it now, I believe that's pretty much symbolic of every player around that has not won the Stanley Cup until they earn some piece of moment that they realize that, okay, I got a tiniest piece of this that I can put my hand on that silverware, then that's when you do it.
It's a special game, and we're lucky enough to get to experience it now year after year these last several years, and we're off to a great start right now. It's all very exciting. Billy, I love catching up with you. Let's do it again. If the Panthers keep advancing, we'll keep having you on the show here and talk more Panther playoff hockey.
Thanks, Az. And you're a grown man by now. If you're a grown man, I'm a senior citizen. That's nice.
I know. I was a little kid when I was doing those Panther games next to you and Randy Moeller. I was a little boy. We're talking 15 years ago.
I'm almost on the ARP program here. I'm almost ready to sign up for ARP.
Oh, man. Great seeing you, Billy. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Zaz. All the best, buddy.
Love catching up with Billy Lindsay. Excellent job there. And here's the thing, and I hope you guys picked up on this. The way Billy talks about, maybe he'll never touch the Stanley Cup unless he's part of it. And he's hoping that even though he plays a super small role in his opinion, with the Florida Panthers as an organization right now, that would be, he would like that opportunity to touch the Stanley Cup if the Panthers win. But you notice, not once there when Billy was talking about it, does he talk about getting a ring, getting a championship ring. There's that ring culture with the NBA where it's all about the player, the individual player, getting a ring, getting a championship. And everything that Billy just talked about there was about the team and the team raising the Stanley Cup. And because Billy wasn't part of that, he doesn't get to touch the Stanley Cup. He'd like to touch it one day if his team, his organization, wins it. But never once there does Billy talk about winning a ring or winning something for himself. It's about the team. I hope you guys noticed that. All right. Excellent job out of him. Let's get to Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Always brought to us by our friends at Caneswear. My man Brett killing it at Caneswear with the selection they got going on. Not just Miami Hurricanes gear. Now, if you haven't been to Caneswear in Davie lately, they're in the same plaza, same great experience, but an even bigger selection because they moved down a few doors. That's right. Everyone knows Caneswear has the largest selection of Miami Hurricanes gear, but they also carry an amazing selection of all your favorite South Florida sports teams. That's right. Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Inter Miami. No matter which South Florida team you root for, Canes, where is the spot? Miami Fan Shop. You got Panther Fever, largest selection outside the arena. Inter Miami, Messi, largest selection in Broward. Hats, t-shirts, and more from all of your favorite local teams. So easy to find Canes Wear, 2655 South University Drive, just south of 595 on the west side of University, or check out their entire inventory right now at caneswear.com. Canes Wear is the spot South Florida sports fan shop where you get all of the big deals. Big deal or not a big deal. So last night, NBA on TNT, here's Charles Barkley responding to, you know, all the talk about Frank Vogel's going to get fired in Phoenix, which I think he's going to. Darvin Ham, he's going to get fired in Los Angeles. I think he's going to. Here's Charles Barkley responding.
You said you wanted to say something about coaching.
Yeah, you know, part of our job, we watch all the games and we watch all the talk shows. You know, a lot of these people on television, they're cowards because they want the players to like them. They don't want to do their job, which is to tell the truth. And I just want to say it's about coaching. Anybody who thinks the reason the Lakers suck is because of Darvin Ham or the reason the Suns suck is because of Frank Vogel, you don't know what you're talking about. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach. Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach trying to get his career started. But for all you punks, idiots, and jackasses on other networks who want to be media and who want all the players to like y'all, do your damn job. The Lakers suck. And the Sun sucks because of the players. Has nothing to do with the coaches. I feel better now.
Yeah, I can tell. Looks like you're getting that off your chest.
I did. I hate it, man. You sit there like, Darvin Ham needs to get fired. Frank Vogel needs to get fired. Who put them teams together? Them trash-ass teams put together need to get fired. Them guys, they didn't just all of a sudden suck as coaches. People who put them teams together to get, they start packing up their stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm going not a big deal. Obviously, I think Barkley's right about people on television. They don't want, you know, they don't want to be critical of certain players. They don't want backlash or what have you. It's always really easy to blame the coach. You guys know how I feel about that. It's so tired and lazy to blame the coach. But the reality of it is, they're going to fire Frank Vogel because Kevin Durant is clearly to have it. I don't think Frank Vogel's a good coach. And they're going to fire Darvin Ham because clearly LeBron doesn't want to play for him anymore. So I'm going not a big deal. Big deal or not a big deal. So how about Matthew Tkachuk? Matthew Tkachuk was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. That was awesome. That was a nice little surprise. And here's Matthew Tkachuk. This is really interesting because here he's talking about how growing up playing hockey, that actually his parents forced him to play all the sports growing up and how that was beneficial for him.
One thing that I'm super thankful that my parents did, and my mom deserves so much credit because she was mainly the one that was getting up at 5 a.m. and taking us to those 6 a.m. practices when my dad was on the road or working or whatever. So she deserves all the credit in the world. But my parents, and I'm super thankful looking back at a young age, like, we were never allowed to play hockey 24/7, 365 days a week like some of these kids do now. And it's almost like these kids are all like child hockey prodigies, just all in all the time. And I think that as a kid, my parents, like, they were all about playing every single sport you can. So in the fall, you're playing the fall sports. In the winter, we were playing hockey. Obviously, in the spring, we're playing hockey too. And in the summer, like, put the hockey bag, the sticks away. Go play golf, go play baseball, go play whatever you can just to get away from it. And I think ultimately that's what didn't allow me to get burnt out. And my love for the game just kept growing, growing and growing more. And when it came hockey time for hockey season, I was just so fired up to play again. So I think that all parents should kind of take that mindset, and because I think that helped me and my brother a lot.
I'm going big deal. And I think the whole part about because he was forced to play the other sports as well, that when hockey season would roll around, he was that much more excited to play hockey because he loved it the most, as opposed to maybe it being a grind if he was forced to play it all year long. I thought that was really interesting. I'll go big deal. Big deal or not a big deal? You know what? We're actually going to stick with the Pat McAfee show. Yesterday, Drew McIntyre, WWE superstar, was on the Pat McAfee show. And here, Drew McIntyre hates CM Punk.
He was somebody that could have been a leader for me, and he actively hurt my career when I was younger. And people are like, oh, just forget the past. I hear about it all the time when it comes to the bloodline, it comes to some of the other things going on in WWE. Just forget the past, forgive and forget. I can't forget if you literally ruined my life. And right now, though, you look like a big dumb idiot chasing CM Punk. No, I was saying, mate, get in my face. You screwed me at the world title WrestleMania. Just face me like a man. You're playing games where I'm chasing you around. No, like, who's the coward here? Who's the, again, PG, P word here? He is. If I'm like an idiot chasing him around, okay, fair enough. But he's not willing to fight me like a man. How am I going to end up showing up at his doorstep and embarrass me at WrestleMania? It was 5 minutes and 46 seconds, by the way,
sorry,
I had the title for before he cheated me out of it. Sorry. And I'm getting ready to show up to Chicago like I don't know where he lives and start smacking him around. We're grown-ass men. I'm going to handle it grown-ass ways. That's my fist in your face.
Well, I think he's still recovering from his injury, obviously.
Oh, Deadums. I talked about this on Monday as well. You know what happened at Mania when he attacked me from behind, sweep my legs out? He fractured my elbow. This elbow right here, broken bones in it. You know what I did the next day? I wrestled in a four-way match that I would have won if it wasn't for CM Punk. I've been taping up every week. I did a European tour where I wrestled Jey Uso every single night. He's sitting on his couch, collecting his big paycheck, thinking how he can kiss corporate arse to keep cashing those checks while I'm putting in the work. Who's the bad guy? Who's the delusional one? Who's the hypocrite?
Love it.
You're speaking a lot of sense here.
Am I lying? Am I lying?
No, if somebody called you a liar.
Don't say when I'm telling lies.
Yeah, they would be liar.
I'm going big deal. Drew McIntyre's been killing it. This Drew McIntyre-CM Punk rivalry has already been fire. Can't wait for them to actually get in the ring. Punk looks like he's almost healthy. That's a big deal. And that right there is another addition. A big deal or not a big deal, always brought to us where we get all the big deals. That's Caneswear. Caneswear is the spot South Florida's fans shop. Visit them at caneswear.com. Yes. All right. Great job, everybody. Great work behind the scenes. You guys have been terrific these last few days. Appreciate all your hard work. Thanks, everybody, who listened to the show. Brought to us today in part by Bet Online. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday edition of Zaslow Show 2.0. Know what that means. Ah, the show is over. What better time now than to go out back with a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. That's right. That's what I look forward to after every show. And now my day's work is done. I got a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. We're talking European roots with a Caribbean soul. I'm going to sit outside by the pool here at the Zaslow Mansion and just enjoy the rest of my day. Having a Johnny Cuba makes me feel like I'm right back in the Caribbean. We're talking a refreshing German lager in a can. You can get it anywhere. Sedano's, Presidente, Winn-Dixie. And right now, you got special holiday prices on six packs of Johnny Cuba. Make sure you pick up your Johnny Cuba merch as well. We got the hot sauce coming up. Johnny Cuba, stay tranquilo because more is always brewing.